You come home one day and say, I'm following God, I'm going to keep the Sabbath, I'm going to do all of these things, and they say, hey, I can't stand that, goodbye. All right, then you are free to marry according to what the Apostle Paul said here. Now that's a very narrow circumstance, isn't it? Yes, it is a very narrow circumstance. What if you've lived with an unconverted so-called mate for years and years and years? Maybe you've been in a church 20 years. And you've had your ups and downs. What if there's been threatenings to go or come or stay or whatever? Does that give you cause to up and leave? Well, I don't quite think so, because you have an obligation the longer you have been married. Let's see where we have that and see what God says concerning this. Let's go to Malachi, the second chapter. Malachi, the second chapter. There are just too many people going around swapping husband and wife. I even know of a case. Man and a woman, being in the church, being baptized, got married. Okay? He was ordained as a minister. All right? Another man and his wife, same circumstances. Now they knew each other. They decided that they wanted to swap wives. That couple number one's going to divorce, and the wife of couple number one marries the husband of couple number two. And the wife of couple number two marries the husband of couple number one. Obviously, they are living in adultery. You cannot sanction that at all in the Bible or say that that is a proper, legally loose marriage by the definition of God. We'll take a little break here and be right back. Okay, now let's go to Malachi, the second chapter. Let's talk about marriage and divorce here, as God does. First of all, he starts out with the priests, and he says that you've corrupted God's way. Verse 6 says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. They walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. And that's what's happening. People are leaving the way of God to do their own thing, to go their own way. And you have caused many to stumble at the law. And boy, there's sure a lot of ministers that are causing many people to stumble at the word of God, so that these people can be given the license to fulfill their own lust. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. We can say, today, you have corrupted the covenant of Christ by giving allowance of divorce and remarriage when God did not say those were the grounds. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according that you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. And have not people done that, been partial in the law? Oh, yes, you will lose this marriage. Oh, yes. Well, just because they belong to another church over here, that means you can go ahead and put them away because you found another man or another woman here in this congregation. What are you going to do when they get down the road and they say, oh, well, we don't love each other and we're going to put them away too? You see, you just start the whole wellspring opening up to human lust and human desires rather than asking what is God's way first, and then you'd be partial in the law. Have we all not one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously, every man against his brother, and profane the covenant of our fathers? There is treachery. There's been treachery in the ministry toward the people. And we're going to see treachery in marriage. Now let's come down here. Let's come down here to verse 14. Yet you say, wherefore? Why is God giving us all this correction and so forth? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Do you think that God is not going to hold you responsible if after you've been married for 20, 30 years or longer? That just because you have family spats and fights, maybe even every day, what if you argue every day? Does that lose the marriage? Has there been sexual immorality so that you have where that God loosed the marriage? No. Uh-uh. What if it's most difficult to get along? Does that still loose your marriage? I would not want to say that it does. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see it there. And maybe have you not provoked some of these things yourself, either your husbands or your wives, toward your mate so that you can create a cause? A lot of you have. A lot of you have created the cause so that you can come crying and whimping to the minister and getting some sort of excuse so you can divorce and remarry. But I tell you, just as Christ said, you're causing people to live in adultery. That's not the way that God intended. Are you going to allow people to deal treacherously with the wife or the husband of their youth just to satisfy the hardness of their hearts? I don't think you're going to tell God what to do. No way. Against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and the wife of your covenant. Did he not make one? In other words, when you were married, were you not bound as one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, your attitude, and let none of you deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. That becomes very profound. It becomes very corrective too, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Did God mean that because you're converted, maybe have a wife or a husband who is not necessarily converted, maybe a Protestant? Did God mean that that gives you the right to have the attitude to dump her or dump him just simply because you can't get along? Is that sexual immorality? Answer, no. What is the command of the Apostle Paul? Remain separate. Remain unmarried or be reconciled. That's what you ought to do. Too many people dealing treacherously because they live in this Sodom and Gomorrah and they think they're going to have the happiness of the kingdom of God right now. If you think you're going to have the happiness of the kingdom of God right now, you may have another thought coming. You go back and you go over those sermons that we covered so you think you have suffered. Now, maybe you ought to take the other tack. Maybe you ought to look at it that, hey, this marriage is binding. I've been married for X number of years. No sexual immorality has been connected with this marriage. So, therefore, it's binding before God. Now, I better find a way to get along. Whole different attitude, right? Yes, indeed. Don't deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. And that goes above and beyond many different things that are contained in the Word of God. Now let's go to the book of Hosea. And let's see what if there is sexual immorality involved. Does that necessarily loose a marriage? It can be grounds for loosing a marriage. Remember the Apostle Paul said, what know you not that he who is joined to a harlot is one flesh? And he's referring here to the book of Hosea. Now here's a prophet of God, right? Called of God, right? Preached the word of God, correct? One to serve God, yes. Having the Spirit of God, yes. Absolutely. All right, now let's see what God tells him. Hosea, the first chapter. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. And the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take you a wife of whoredoms. He said, go marry a whore. Plain as day. That offend you? I don't know how to please you, but there it is in the Bible. And children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter I can't see it here too good. That is Debelim, which conceived and bare him a son. Well, the long and short of it is, you can read the rest of it, the long and short of it is this, that God bound him to a whore for the whole purpose of showing, and they lived together and they had three children to show that these are not my people, that these are children of whoredoms, and to teach a lesson. Furthermore, when you come to chapter 6, you find something really incredible. Okay? Chapter 6. Is that the one I want? Is it chapter 6? Let me see. I don't have it in my notes. Yes, chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3. All right? Here's some grounds for committing divorce, even though he was married to a prostitute. And here's what God said to him, to teach a lesson. All right? Now, I'm not saying that every marriage that goes through this is bound by God. What I'm saying is that just because it may happen does not necessarily mean that the marriage is automatically loosed. That's what you need to understand. Because too many times people will go ahead and create their circumstances to fit a scripture in the Bible so they have cause to do what they want to do in the first place. And that's at the heart and core of a lot of the divorce and remarriage that's going on with people within the Church of God. Here's what he said. God said this. All right, now this may be shocking to you, but he did say it. Verse 1, chapter 3. Then the Lord said to me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, and look to who also look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for an omer of barley and a half a omer of barley. So he went out and paid a prostitute to lay with him. Now think on that. You think on that. Maybe you never even thought it. Maybe you never even read it. But God was going to teach a lesson with it, you see. That doesn't mean that someone will say, oh, it's there. Oh, good, I can go. I'll go out on town on Saturday night and I'll find a woman. Yes, it's in the Bible. Yes, God said that. No, someone's surely going to say, oh, yes, we can go out and we can commit adultery by paying 15 pieces of silver and get ourselves a woman of the street and lay with her. It's not what it's saying. Principle here is that even though there is sexual immorality, it may not be sufficient cause to end the marriage. That's what it's saying. Maybe a cause. But I tell you what, after God put Hosea through that, Do you think that God is going to look kindly upon people who lightly treat their marriages? Do you think that God is going to look kindly upon people who are not willing to help reconcile someone who is caught in a time of weakness? Do you think that God is going to look kindly upon you divorcing someone just because you have fights? I've had fights with my wife. Okay? It's not okay in as much as I don't like them. She doesn't like them, but it's happened. So what do? All get in the huff and run off and get mad and live with anger forever? Of course not. You can look back there and you can see where even Abraham and Sarah had their little tiffs now and then. So those things happen. We're talking about what binds a marriage, and we're talking about the grounds to lose a marriage. And we're talking about it may not be so broad as one may think, and it may not be so easy as one may think. Now today we're living in a situation that, with all the age that is going around today, and with the difficulties and problems of sexual immorality and disease, that even if you are willing to accept a mate back after having committed adultery or fornication, you better have a test before you do anything. Because I'm telling you, if it is AIDS and it's going to happen to someone in the church, I just know it's going to happen to someone. Well, I know it's already happened to people who have been in a church who became, who either were homosexuals and never really gave it up, or became homosexuals after being in the church, and they died of AIDS. That I know. I know of at least one verified case myself. Okay? So it could happen within the church. So if it does happen, and you're still of a mind to be reconciled, you better get some kind of test so you know what you're into, and you know what the circumstances are. And maybe you better give yourself a little time so that you know whether it is really there or it really is not there. Because we're living in a treacherous world. We have to talk about these things at this level because this world is so evil, unfortunately. Now, let's come down to chapter 4 and see what all of this leads to. See where all of this permissiveness comes to. The end result. Because the Bible says, consider the end. And it seems so innocent when it begins. Hosea 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. That's what happens. No truth of God, no morality, no understanding of anything. No mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Have we solved anything with all the divorce and remarriage in the land or in the church? No. Have we solved anything by condoning children outside of wedlock? No. We bred a whole breed of bastards for a generation that just keep people in poverty and swill and crime and wretchedness, and part of it by their own choice, because they don't want anyone saying, if you have children, you better be married. So you look at the society around us, and then we bring that society into the church, and we be like the society, and we put away our wives and put away our husbands. I tell you, God is not going to stand for that. And don't you think for any 1 minute that you're going to come before God and wipe your face clean and say, God, I found it in your word. God is going to say, where's your endurance? Where's your patience? Where's your understanding? Where's your forgiveness? Where's your love? So there better be a lot more than just thinking twice about it. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone that dwells therein shall languish. The beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, of heaven, yea, even the fishes of the sea shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for your people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall you fall in the day, and the prophet shall also fall with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and partly in the church because ministers are not willing to stand up and tell people what the truth actually is. You know, it's just like anything else. I'll tell you one thing. If the Jews and the Arabs can sit down and start working out their family feud, even though it's nearly impossible, surely a husband and wife ought to be able to sit down and work out their own problems and difficulties, you would think. I mean, can it be so totally irreconcilable, or are you making it irreconcilable? Is your heart tender and humble before God? Or is it hardened because you want your own way? And I tell you, God is going to judge you on your own heart. So if things are so bad that you can't live together and you have to separate, boy, you better absolutely know before God, if you have ideas of getting remarried, you better know before God that God has loosed that marriage. Otherwise, you're going to be living in adultery, and it says that no whoremonger or adulterer is going to be in the kingdom of God. Revelation 21 and verse 8. All right? Because they've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, and you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. They need to think about that very deeply in relationship to your own circumstances. Loosing a marriage is not all that easy and simple. Now, there are too many people that are going around taking the word of God, making a judgment on their own, to go ahead and do what they want to do in the name of God when God never gave it and God never sanctioned it and God had no part with it, and all they are doing is just going to end up living in adultery. Now, we can't be acting and behaving like the world and expect God to give us salvation. It isn't going to happen. We're to be called out of this world. We are to live differently than the world. And we are to live with the Spirit of God, not with the hardness of our own hearts. And so divorce and remarriage is a very serious thing. Now let's cover one other aspect of it. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. And it's possible that this could happen. What if you have someone that becomes a drug addict? Possible today. What if they totally, absolutely give up on God and fail to provide for the family? Now what are you to do? Okay, 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. Here's a principle. Verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, I've seen a minister take that and say, because the man is unemployed, you can divorce him because he's not providing for you. It's not what that says. This means an extreme case of total dereliction. And I have yet to run across a man that isn't willing to get out and work and provide for his family who's in the church. Now, we're coming across some tough economic times. Maybe there is going to be unemployment. Maybe you are going to lose your home. There are going to be some. Bound to happen. Is that cause for divorce? No, it is not cause for divorce. This is only in case of total dereliction. Now, maybe if they run off and they're a cocaine addict and they blow their minds and they're a heroin addict and they shoot up all the time, steal money, waste everything, destroy the family, yes, then God would loose that because they're worse than an infidel and have denied the faith. Absolutely. But those are extreme circumstances. Not just any cause that comes along. So to divorce or not divorce, tell you what, you better really know your Bible and you better do a lot of fasting and praying before you undertake what you may have in your hardness of heart to do. And you better be sure about the minister who's giving you the counsel. Maybe he is not really giving you the Word of God the way that it ought to be given. And maybe he is leading you into a situation where he's going to bring upon you the judgment of adultery for putting away your wife and dealing treacherously with the wife of your youth. Now, you need to understand that. We're talking about eternal life here. We're not talking about sex or not sex. We're not talking about argument or not argument. We're talking the final analysis, what about salvation and eternal life? And that's where you really need to understand and know the Word of God and not take upon yourself to divorce just simply because of circumstances that are a little difficult.